6, the Bible says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spaken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he did eat it, and did eat, he did took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you and praise you, God, this morning for the reading of your word. God, we ask you to take us, touch us, help us for just a little while. God, give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech. But God, I pray most of all that you'd give us, each and every one, a teachable spirit. God, that we would take your word, that we'd apply it to our own hearts, we'd look at our own heart, God, not in our head, but our heart, and see where you are, and see if there's a place made available for Jesus Christ to dwell and live in. God, that you might supervise us and take us and direct us in the path that you'd have us to go. God, I pray, Lord, have your will and way. Now, Lord, if there's one here that don't know you and the free pardon of sin, what better time right before Christmas than to be saved and become a child of the King? Lord, we love you and we thank you. Now, have your will and way in everything that we do and say. God, we can't do nothing without you. You've told us that, but we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And boy, what a precious hope that is. Lord, have your way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want to say, talk on this subject this morning, preach just a minute, on he's still the same. Amen. On this thought, he's still the same. Now, the Bible gives us some promises of a Savior. It gives us promises of the Lord Jesus Christ and points that a blessed Savior would come, a Redeemer of humanity. You say, well, Pastor, why do we need a Redeemer? Because the Bible said we've all sinned, come short of glory of God. We've broken the heart of God, amen, the God of heaven, our Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, the one that holds it all in His hands, and we've broken His heart. But He's offered us a promise in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. It goes all the way back into the Old Testament, the book of Micah, in chapter number 4, when he made a promise to Israel that he's going to gather them in, that he was going to become their Lord God, that he was going to become their deliverer. And he says in Micah chapter 4 and verse 8, and said, "Thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come." Now he's talking about that it is the promise that God had made. God had made a promise a long time ago when men sinned and men fell into sinfulness. God made a promise that He would send a deliverer to deliver us from that sin. He said, "And it shall come, even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." So he said it. He said the tower of the flock, Migdog Edar. He said that place, the tower of the flock. He said they would be a promise that would come. Now as we look at that, and we look at where the shepherds come, and you heard the young men talking about the shepherds were abiding in the fields, watching the flock by night, and they come to this place, Migdog Edar. Praise God, that Migdog Edar. They come to this place, the tower of the flock. Have you ever wondered how when this thing began to transpire? And the angel of the Lord told them that they could find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. They didn't spend all night searching and looking, trying to find that spot, because that tower of the flock was where the promised Messiah would come to. That promise was the Messiah, that tower of the flock was where those little birthing lambs would be born. The little lambs, amen, that would be born, praise God, for sacrifices unto God. Amen. So them shepherds knew right away where to go. Amen. Praise God. To this tower of the flock. And there where they would find a Savior, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad that, hey, you know what? We're talking about this, but we're talking about truth. We're talking about something that's just as absolute as you and I are here today. Amen. That Jesus came because God made us a promise, and God is an ultimate promise keeper. He goes on in Micah chapter 5, and he says this in verse 2. He said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." He said, not only is he coming to this tower of the flock, but he's coming to Bethlehem Ephratah. Praise God, the promise was in Bethlehem, and he said he's going to be born of a virgin, and he's going to become ruler of the universe. Amen. Praise God. He says his coming forth is from old. Amen. Praise God. He says birth is going to be like no other. Probably because he was pre-existent. He was from the beginning, and he'll be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for that, ain't you? The Bible says in John 1:1, said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning." Praise God. He was always been the Lord God of heaven. He said, "All things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." Praise the Lord. If you're here today, you see things today, praise God, you can't help but give God the glory, give Jesus praise, praise God, because He made it. Amen. You say, "Preacher, I thought He didn't come along until He was born in mine." Praise God. No, He was way before that. He was with the Father from the very beginning when they made the first thing. And Jesus Christ was there, and He said, when sin, they knew that, they foreseen that sin would come, and Jesus, the Lord God of heaven, said, "We're going to need something to take care of that." And Jesus raised His hand. He said, "Father, I'll go." Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus offered Himself a sacrifice for you and I on that day. Bless His holy name. And He come, He said, He was that one that was from everlasting. And boy, I appreciate that today, knowing that God of heaven, praise God, He loves me and He cares for me. He loves you and He cares for you. And we can just trust in that because God Almighty has made us a promise of a Messiah, of a coming prince, praise God, that would rule and reign in the world forever. In Isaiah chapter number 9, He says this in verse 6, "For unto us," that's you and I, "a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government, then peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we see the Lord as He begins to become those promises, praise God, that God has made, that He is unto us a child is born, unto us a son, God's son, is given. Amen. I want to say this morning, the greatest gift that we'll ever receive is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's a gift from God. It's not a gift of this world. It's a gift that's out of this world. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I love Him today, and I thank Him that He first loved me. See, that was a long time. I didn't realize that Jesus loved me. As a young boy, I painted out and hung out over hell and said, showed that hell was real and sinners go there. But I heard that the Lord God of heaven, He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And boy, I got a hold of that, and I realized that God so loved me. How much did He love you? He loved me this much. Praise God. He loved me enough to send His only begotten Son to die for my sins so that I wouldn't perish. Now that word perish means to make no account, made useless for the glory of God, to be cast off in other darkness, to never be assimilated with God, to never have a part with God. But God said, "I never designed you to be that way. I designed you, praise God, to flourish with me, praise God, in my presence." He said, the Lord said, "I go away." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And He said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Amen. So God's got a plan and a purpose to bring us into the fold, to bring us to where He is. And oh, what a blessed hope that is. Amen. That one day we can have a promise of being with Him where He's at. Where's He at? He's at the right hand of the Father in the throne room of heaven. Amen. But Jesus said in the high priestly prayer in John 17, He said, "I would that you be with me where I am." Amen. Jesus wants you to be with Him even this morning. Amen. He wants you to accept Him as the Lord and Savior, praise God. Believe that He came to earth, born as a babe, praise God, born for your sins and mine, died on the cross of Calvary for those sins. He took the sins of the world upon Himself. Amen. He became sin. He that knew no sin became sin for you and me, that through Him we might be saved. Praise God. You say, how do you be saved? By just trusting in the Lord. Amen. The God of all wisdom. The God of that's the Spirit of God itself. Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible says this. Verse number 1, he said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Of course, Jesse was King David's father. And he said, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, these are the seven spirits of God. Amen. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. That's the first spirit. Shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom. That's the second spirit. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of counsel. The spirit of might. That's where the power comes in to be a child of God. Trusting in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he sends us his power. He said, I have all power in heaven and earth. I praise God. He said, if you'll trust in me, I'll minister that power unto you. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I'm partaker in the ministered power of God. He said the spirit of knowledge. He said, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So God says, listen, I'm going to send to you somebody. I'm going to send to you someone, praise God, that's going to be sufficient. He's going to be that power. He's going to be that mercy. He's going to be that grace. He's going to be that sin-saving Savior, praise God, that'll save us from our sin and call us unto Himself. Amen. And He's the same. He's still the same Savior today that He was then. As He calls these folks together, amen, after the resurrection from the dead, He got up out of the tomb after 3 days, just like He said He would, victorious over death and the grave. He'd come out of there, praise God, on that first morning, praise the Lord. He'd come out of there victorious over death and the grave, so that we can rise up too. But see, Jesus, when He's here, His life didn't change Him. Amen? His life didn't change Him. A lot of times our life changes us, doesn't it? We're kind of molded by our life that we have, the life that we live. Amen. But Jesus Christ wasn't molded by this life, this world that He lived in. He was molded by the love of the Father. He was molded by the precious truth of God. Amen. What we need to be molded by, what we need to be bringing up our children in is the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. What's wrong with America today? What's wrong with our churches today? What's wrong with our families today? Is we're not bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs, raise a child up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. In other words, praise God, they may venture out, but they'll have something to come back to. I wonder how we're failing today. We're not reinforcing. We're not putting Jesus in our heart. We're not living for the Lord Jesus ourselves. We're not putting on display Christ Jesus as the precious Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. On that Christmas morning, they said that's who He was, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Where does He take them? Praise God. He takes them and casts them in the sea of forgetfulness. Never to be remembered no more. He becomes our Lord and our Savior, praise God. But life here on this world couldn't change our Savior. He stayed close to the Father. He prayed and He seeked His face. There was no bitterness found in Christ. If there was ever anybody that could have been bitter and vindictive, it could have been the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was hanging on that, when they was hanging Him on that cross, He could have called down legions of angels to deliver Him. But He didn't do that. Praise God. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He loved us so much that He endured even the death of the cross. He stayed on our pride without bitterness, without envy. Praise God. He had no enemies in this world. He said, well, preacher, wait a minute. The scribes and the Pharisees, you know, those hypocrites, they were the enemy of Jesus. Yeah, they were the enemy of Jesus, but they weren't Jesus' enemy. Amen. Jesus loved them. You say, how do you know, preacher, that Jesus loved those scribes and Pharisees and those hypocrites? Because He still told them the truth. Amen. The Bible said to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We live in a world today, we live in a society today, when it's constantly wanting to change us and dictate to us. But I want to say there's a God in heaven, and He gives us His Word, and His Word is truth.
Amen.
Amen. As we're looking around today and we're seeing chaos and craziness all around us, we can look in the precious Word of truth and we can be calmed by the sayings of the Lord. John 14:1, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Amen. He said, "Hey, listen," He said, "just calm down. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it." He said, "You believe in God. You believe in the Creator. You believe in the God of heaven." He said, "Just believe. Put your faith in me." And He said, "Praise God, I'll take what He's got and I'll give it to you, and everything's going to be all right." You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know about that. It seems like there's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of hurt and pain and sickness and dying and death." Yeah, but God Almighty said if we'll just stay with Him, we'll go through the trials and the testing, but one day in a little while, we'll come out on the other side. Praise God, just like those three Hebrew boys that was cast into the fiery oven that was heated up 7 times hotter than it was ever meant to be, and they was cast in there bound hand and foot. But praise God, God Almighty, Lord Jesus was in there with them, and King Nebuchadnezzar looked in there. He said, "Did we not cast 3 men? I praise God into the fiery furnace." They said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "But hey, I see 4 men loose walking around, and the 4th man is like the Son of God." Amen. Praise the Lord. The trials and the tribulations and the hardships and what go, it don't change who Jesus is. Amen. It shouldn't change us. We should just trust in the Lord. Amen. Without bitterness, but praise God with hope. Not an enemy in our lives because of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. There was no hardness in His heart. They could, you know, temptations and trials sometimes can embitter us. They can harden us. But the Bible said Jesus had no hardness in His heart. Amen. He said we shouldn't have no hardness in our heart either. The book of Titus chapter number 3 tells us this. Titus 3:3, the Bible says this, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived." Hey, you know what? You know what's prominent in the world today? Deception. It's everywhere. We need to be careful. We need to pay attention because deception is rampant today. He said, "Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy." Now watch this, "hateful and hating one another." God help us. But He says in verse 4, He said, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Praise God. "Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." That being justified, that means just as if we never, when we did. Being justified by His grace, that's God's unmerited favor. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, and the hope we have in that life, praise God. See, I want to say Jesus still wasn't changed by this world. He wasn't changed by life because He was the promise of that eternal life. Bless His holy name. Amen. Death couldn't hold Him. Praise God, He come out through death. He overcame death. He overcame the anguish of this world, praise God, because He was God in the flesh. In Philippians chapter number 2, in verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form," the very nature, if you will, "of a servant, and was made in the likeness," or the very form, "of men, and being found in fashion," it wasn't a masquerade, it wasn't put on, "He found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, now watch this, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now watch, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So God Almighty come, pray God, and He overcome death, even the death of the cross, and He done it for me and you so that God could get the glory. You know why God wanted to do that? Because God loved you and I so much, He wanted us to be partakers with Him in His goodness, His mercy, and His love. He wanted to bring us close to Him. Amen. He is our Heavenly Father. He wants us to come close, praise God. He wants us to draw nigh to, like that Father, He wants us to pull up a chair and sit a while. Amen. That's God that we serve. That's the Lord that we have. He wants us to, praise God, to overcome the death of this world, to put it behind us and just believe upon the Lord and trust Him for what He does. Amen. In Acts chapter number 2, Peter's a preaching, and he gives them the statement. He preaches them the gospel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, he says this. He said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved." That word approved means to be put on exhibition. God put him up there for show. "Being approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." I'm wondering today how many people still crucifying and slaying the Lord Jesus Christ, putting Him to an open shame instead of receiving Him and loving Him, praise God, because He first loved us. He said, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it." He said that the Spirit of God has turned Him loose. The Spirit of God has set Him free. The Spirit of God has made Him free because He is the precious Son of God. He is that Lamb of God. He overcame death and the sorrows thereof. And because He has, we can also. Every time I say that, people look at me like a sheep looking at a new gate. Amen. But Jesus Christ, the Lord, made it possible that through Him, praise God, we could overcome death. The Bible says, Jesus said Himself, He said that those that love Him and keep His commandment shall not see death. Amen. What does that mean? That means that, praise God, that we'll go from here to yonder, praise the Lord. That when this old body lays down, when the life's breath of life goes out of us, the next breath we'll take in the portals of glory. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. And for those that are born again, those that believe Him. Why? Because Jesus Christ was our perpetuator. He was that price. He was our redeemer. Because He had no sin. Praise God. That's why His heart was so broken. He said, "Why?" You know, on the cross, He said, "Why have thou forsaken me?" When God had to turn His back. He didn't turn His back on His Son. He turned His back on the sin. Because God can't look on sin. But Jesus became sin for me, for you and me. He took our sin. Oh, we're guilty as sin. Also, if all sin comes short, we're guilty as sin. But Jesus Christ Himself, He became sin for us. And He hung on that cross of Calvary, praise God. He shed His blood. Amen. Praise His holy name. Redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He shed for us on Calvary. Because He had no sin, He was perfect and sinless. Can you imagine, I was thinking as Mia was doing that as Mary, can you imagine Mary and Joseph bringing up in this world a perfect kid? Amen, a perfect, sinless youngin. Now, our youngins is full of sin. Yeah. We don't have to train them to sin. We don't have to teach them. You don't have to teach a youngin to lie. They do it by nature. Amen, sin nature. Amen. We have to teach them with the Word of God not to sin, not to lie. We have to teach them to tell the truth and to know the difference. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus had no sin, praise God. So death could not hold Him. Amen. Sin is what allows death to hold on to you. But praise God, when you've been a Lord Jesus Christ, had no sin, so death didn't have, it was impossible for it to hold him. When death was there, the devil and the demons of hell was a cheering. They was praising. They was having them a party because Jesus, praise God, had died, had given his life for me and you, and they were rejoicing. But on that third day, every day, the devil went by and said, "You got him." They said, I've still got him. But on that third day, praise God, he went down there, and the devil and death was there. He looked all sheepish and afraid and terrified. And the devil said, "What's the matter with you?" And he turned around, and his stinger was gone. Amen. Jesus Christ the Lord had unplucked the sting of death. Amen. Praise God. What are you saying? He got up victorious over it and walked out of there, praise God, victorious over death and the grave. And through him, praise God, through faith, believing on him, we can overcome that too. We have that blessed hope today in the Lord Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, praise God. He's overcome death. So what are you saying? I'm saying he's still the same. He's still doing the same thing today. He's still offering us, praise God, himself. He's still the same Savior that's offering us. Number one, he's offering us peace today. Amen. He's offering us peace. In Luke chapter 24, he said, "Peace be unto you," verse 36. He said, "Peace be unto you." He's offering us peace. Amen. Because he's still the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know the Lord's always offering you peace? A place out of the storm, a place of safety, a place of sanctuary. Amen. Praise God, a place where we can find peace even in the storm. These storms are raging around this country, around the world today. And I hate to say it, but I'm not a bearer of bad news, but it's going to wax worse and worse because the Bible said so. Amen. It's going to get worse and worse, but God Almighty has hope in Christ the Lord. He said, "Not see the righteous forsaken or see the begging bread." Have you been to the grocery store lately? You men, you husbands, you that don't go to the store and you wonder why your checkbooks are dwindling, mama ain't buying extra shoes. Amen? She's buying the groceries that you need to keep you and the young'uns fed. And it's costing a whole lot more. Amen? And it's going to wax worse and worse before the end. Things is coming at us that we've never seen. But the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's still the same yesterday and forever, he's still offering us peace even during this time. He's offering us his peace. He says, "My peace I give unto you." The peace that he had. He had his peace in the Father. Amen. He had his peace in the promise. And we're still have our hope and our peace in the promise. The promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he offers us peace, but he also offers us a deliverance from trouble. Verse 37, he said they were terrified and affrighted. They supposed they'd seen it. But he says in verse 38, and he said unto them, "Why are you troubled and why do thy thoughts rise in your hearts?" He said, "What are you so troubled about?" He said, "I'm not the same Lord today that I was then. The same Lord that saved me, praise God, by his marvelous grace. I told you when I realized I needed to get in, my granddad over at the old Oak Grove Church in Alexander, he was preaching one Sunday morning. He was preaching about hell and the embers and the fires and the smoke that was ascending up out of that awful place and the voices of people that was doomed and damned in hell screaming in the regions of the damned. And I remember sitting by my little grandmother, my little feet just barely hanging, dangling off the end of the pew as a 7-year-old boy. I thought if I just scoot up there and look down at my feet into that floor that I could feel the fire, I could feel the heat, I could see the smoke. I was afraid to look. Amen. It was real. But I remember as a 14-year-old boy at a little church, God, the Holy Ghost, spoke to my heart. And he said, "Look, the Lord loves you. Amen. For God so loves you. Amen. That he gave his only begotten son. Praise his holy name." And boy, I come out of there that Wednesday night, 1976. I went to an old-fashioned altar, fell down. I said, "Lord, please forgive me, an old sinner. I feared I was doomed and damned for hell forever. But praise God, Jesus come to where I was at. He fingered around my heart through the sweet Holy Spirit. See, I knew a whole lot in my head, and I thought I was okay. I thought I'd fix this thing one day. But praise God, the Holy Ghost showed me that there wasn't no way for me to fix or accomplish anything. But Jesus Christ would save me that night." Amen. I went to old-fashioned altar and I said, "Lord, please forgive me, a sinner." And guess what he did? He forgave me, a sinner. You say, preacher, you're not a sinner no more. Yeah, I'm a saved sinner.
Right.
Amen. Praise God, I'm a saved sinner. I still mess up. But praise God, I've got a Savior. I call upon, I plead the blood of Jesus. I repent of my sins. Amen. Now, I know that's not popular preaching today. It's a call on repentance. Amen. When we mess up and God shows it to us, that's Holy Ghost conviction. We're living in a world today, and the reason it's waxing worse and worse because they're saying, well, we need more morality. We need better morals. I want to say there will be no morals without conviction. Amen. There'll be no morals. There'll be no morality without conviction. And conviction is brought on by the precious Word of God. It speaks to our heart. It shows us God's way. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. I'm not trusting what men tell me. I'm trusting what God says. Amen. A lot of people don't like that now. You try to preach the truth and tell the truth, they want you to change it. Because it upsets folks. They can't cope with it. I tell you what, a fix that, a good dose of Holy Ghost salvation, a good dose of repentance, amen. Just fall on face and say, Lord, first forgive me, a sinner. Help me to get in line with you. Boy, he'll line us up, set us on the straight path, and we come out of there shouting praise and giving God glory. Amen. We're on that eternal road to glory. Praise God, headed home with him. Because he's still the same. He still offers us peace. He still offers us deliverance from trouble. But I want you to notice the big thing here, and I'm going to hush. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. You never do. Amen. He says this. He not offers only offers us peace, Brother Jeff. He not only offers a deliverance, praise God, through his from troubles by his truth. But the Bible says in verse 39, he said, behold my hands. Jesus Christ the Lord this morning, you listen to me, he offers you his hands. Amen. He's still the same today, and he still offered us his hands. Those nail-piercing hands. See, they're not scars. Those holes are still there where they drove those old rusty spike nails through his hands and to nail him on the cross of Calvary. It wasn't those nails that held him there. It was love that held him on that cross. Amen. And he's given us his hands today. He said, here, let me give you my hands. Let me show you what to do. Let me guide you in direction. Let me give you the staples of this life, praise God, to carry you through with hope and help and encouragements in your life. Amen. We need hope, young'uns. We need hope like we've never needed hope before. My granddaddy, I told the church before, my granddaddy used to, somebody come get saved or had rededicated her life, and he'd take that old white handkerchief, boy, and he'd just wave her to heaven. He'd say, glory to God, they got hope! And for a long time, I never understood that. I said, what is he talking? Hope. I thought they got saved. I thought they rededicated their life. But he was talking about hope. Hope is that faith with expectation, praise God. He said, not just having a little bit, but he said they had a faith in the Lord Jesus with an expectation of something bigger farther on. Amen. Amen. That's what we need to have. Jesus offers his hands so that we can have his hope. Amen. Not only does he offer us his hands, but he offers us his feet. He said, behold my hands and my feet. He offers us his feet so that if we'll follow him and keep his commandments, that he'll take us where we need to go. He'll help us to get to places, praise God, that'll bring glory and honor to God. He'll help carry us through the trials, the heartaches. He'll take us from the mountaintop experience to the valley of disappointment, praise God, and bring us back up again. Because he offers us his feet, his way of traveling, his way of goodness, his way of righteousness. Amen. He offers us his hands, and he offers us his feet. But not only does he offer his hands and feet, but he offers us of his spirit. Amen. He said, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. He offers us his spirit that's inside him, that moves and breathes and gives us our being. Jesus Christ said, I want to give myself to you. I want to pour out myself in you. I want to make you more like me. Amen. He gives us his hands. He gives us his feet. He gives us his spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God. So that through him all things are possible to those who believe. Do you believe this morning? I mean, I'm not talking about, do you know who Jesus is? These little kids know that. But do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, do you trust in Him? Do you rely on Him? Do you adhere to Him? Ain't it about time, young'uns, that we start listening to God? We've listened to politicians. Oh my goodness, we've listened to Dr. Fauci. We've listened to everybody in this world. Wouldn't it be nice just to listen to God for a while? Just to try that on, just see how it fits. I guarantee you, if you try it, you'll like it. Amen. Now the world around you might not like it. They might talk about you and put you down. But let me tell you something. God Almighty in heaven will like it. And He'll get glory out of it. And if He's happy, praise God, we have joy in our hearts. We can press on, praise God. Why? With the help of the Lord, in peace, in deliverance, in the hands of God, with the feet of God, just marching on for the glory of God. And we'll do it and achieve it through the Spirit of God that'll dwell in our heart. Jesus says, I must go away. It broke their heart. That's why He said, let not your heart be troubled. Because they were troubled. If He's going away, I said, what are we going to do? But He says, it's needful. But He said, if I go away, He said, I'll send you another comforter. That another means the same as me. Amen. He said, I'll send another comforter. So I'll send a comforter that'll abide in you. See, when we get saved and accept Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, ask Him to forgive us of our own sinfulness, come into our heart. Amen. The same, He's still the same today. He's still doing it the same way He's always done it. He saves us from our sins, puts and sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in our heart. That's the third person of the Trinity. Amen. Third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And what He does, He comes in, He takes that old table that you've been dining on, you know, been used for a while and abused for a while, kind of dirty and filthy and got a lot of clutter on it. And He said, I'll send the Holy Ghost and He'll dwell in you. In other words, He'll come in there and the Holy Spirit will kick His shoes off. I'd be careful doing that. I've done that one time years ago, and there's a lady about halfway back, and I had on a pair of loafers, and I went to kick it off, and that shoe flew off and hit her right upside the head. Amen. But the Holy Ghost said, He comes in, He abides. In other words, He takes His shoes off and He sets up housekeeping. Amen. You know, you say, preacher, I've tried being good. Yeah, and you'll try and try and try, and you'll never achieve. Amen. There's nothing good in us. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're trusting in the righteousness of Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, I'll send a comforter to you if you'll just receive me. Trust me. Rely on me. He said, I'll send a comforter. He'll move into you. He'll kick off His shoes. He'll sit up. He'll take and clean off that old nasty table. Sanitize it and wipe it. We've had a lot of that going on. Sanitize it and wipe it down, clean it up. And He said, I'll set you a new table. And He said, I'll dine. And the Lord said, I'll come and dine with you. Amen. Praise God. He said, we'll partake of the good things from the portals of glory. Amen. He said, I'll pull you up. I like this. He said, I'll pull you up and I'll put you under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. And you can just partake of it with me and we'll just rejoice together. Praise God. To that glorious day that we participate in the precious marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Praise God. God said, I'll feed you. But He said, but the Lord tells us, He said, behold, He said, pay attention. Are you listening? He said, I'll give you my hands. I'll give you my feet. I'll give you my spirit. That's what He was saying right after His resurrection, right after He arose. But let me tell you something today, youngins. He's still the same today. He's still offering Himself to us. You know what the best present, Christmas present you could give to yourself this year is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's a gift that was given from God the Father. He's that gift. It's given God the Father in His Word. He tells us of Him and He offers us to us. And this is worth more. This is worth more than money could pay. And I could take this gift, boy, it's worth, we can't put an amount on it. But I can take and give it give it out, and if nobody will take it, it's not much of a gift at all. But to those that will reach out and take it.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'll become your Lord and your Savior, and I'll walk with you no matter where you got to go. And I'll never leave you, and I'll never, ever, ever, ever forsake you. He said, I'll never see the righteous forsaken or his seed a begging bread. Amen. God says we're coming upon troublesome times, but God is the God, our God, and our Savior is the God of troublesome times. And I tell you what, this little church, we've prayed through more than you'd ever know. We've just put our faith and trust in God, and things has come at us. Things comes at our families, and it's going to happen. But you know what we do? We come together. The Bible said, fail not to assemble yourself together as custom some is. Even so, more in the days, as days are approaching, those troublesome days, those trial for days. But he said, we come together and we pray and we see phone calls, text messages. Please help us pray. And with confidence in the Lord, because He's still the same. And we call upon Him, and guess what He does? He hears again and again and again. He don't always answer in the way that we think. He don't always answer in the time frame that we would like. But He answers. And He does things for us that we can't do for ourselves. What are you saying, Pastor Jeff? I'm saying this. We need the Lord today. The Savior that came and was born in Bethlehem, Ephrata, the one that goes, they found at the Tower of the Flock, praise God, was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He was Mary's Savior too. When she kissed His face, she kissed the face of God. Held Him in her arms. That's why she'd say, I kept these things and pondered them in my heart. That's where God does business with us today. He does business with us today, folks, in our hearts. And that, to now, today, this time of year, is never a better time than to ponder the Lord Jesus in our hearts. Amen. To think about what He's done for us and what He'd like to do for you.